Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
So I'm Andrew Hoppen, and until 2 months ago, I was the Chief Information Officer for the New York State Senate. My involvement with Drupal dates back to late 2004. After the 2004 presidential campaign, I met Zach Rosen, who had gone on to start CivicSpace after working on the Howard Dean campaign using Drupal and forking it to create CivicSpace, or DeanSpace before CivicSpace. I had had a very analogous experience using Zope Plone, open source content management system, to self-organize people supporting the Wesley Clark for President campaign. So after the campaigns ended, Zach and I came together, realized that we had a very analogous experience with open source self-organizing tools working to cause impact. And so we set about building CivicSpace to help bring sort of online advocacy and organizing center of gravity to Drupal. And over time, we unforked from Drupal, and my focus was helping new Drupal consulting firms to start so that there would be a sustainable economy around the platform. So before there was a Civic Actions, before there were many of the firms that we know and love today, I was evangelizing for Drupal, so it was my first experience with it. I went on to co-found GoodStorm, which was one of the first e-commerce startups that used Drupal, which ended up getting sold to Zazzle, so that was my sort of private sector entrepreneurial experience with Drupal. Then went on to create, I guess, a predecessor to COD, the conference organizing distribution. When I was at NASA, we contracted Chapter 3 to help build a Drupal-based tool to help organize one of our conferences. And then I took a couple years off from Drupal, doing other things, and came back to it when I was appointed as CIO of the New York State Senate in January 2009 and charged with creating a radically new, transparent, and more participatory state senate. And we launched nysenate.gov in May of 2009, beat the White House to the punch by a little bit, and it became a pretty high-profile and successful government Drupal site.
Cool, and I know last year at DrupalCon, you were a keynote speaker and sort of announcing a lot of the code that you had developed and released as part of that project. So I'm curious, as sort of like just reflecting upon your time there at the New York State Senate, what were you able to accomplish with Drupal?
I think we were able to prove that relative to the amount of money that governments typically spend on building sophisticated websites, you can actually save money by using an open source, collaboratively built platform, especially if you have a lot of peers trying to solve the same problems, addressing the same use cases. So we were able to do a heck of a lot for a relatively small budget and a short time frame relative to other governments who have been trying to do analogous things. And that's a great proof of concept. We got a lot of, you know, accolades for it, which were nice. What I think I was not satisfied with, though, is how difficult it proved to be for our peers to really follow what we'd done. In other words, we happened to be very lucky to get a great team. We happened to have the sort of political and budgetary empowerment to really do it right. But a lot of our peers and other state legislatures aren't so lucky, and that's why I'm so excited now about the release yesterday of the open public distribution of Drupal, because that is really a piece of infrastructure upon which the kind of thing that we did in the Senate 2 years ago could be done today much more quickly and much less expensively and in a way that is much more reusable. And that, I think, will enable my peers and other state legislatures or other small city councils who don't have the same kind of resources and talent that I was lucky to have to be able to follow a similar kind of model.
I see. And so what's happening with the New York State Senate now that you're leaving to start something new? So maybe talk about, like, what's the state of that, and then what new thing are you doing now?
Sure. So with the Senate, we care very much about sustainability, and I'm glad to say that since I've left, they haven't missed a beat, and they're able to really continue with all of the transparency and government efficiency and citizen participation work that we undertook. And I think that using an open source platform to be the technology instantiation of those goals is really helpful in that end, and that they could easily fire any of their staff or fire an outside consulting firm and hire another one because it's open source. We didn't rely on any third-party proprietary technology. So that sort of low switching cost and great flexibility in terms of which vendors you work with and what kind of staff you work with is a great help. So the Senate is continuing forward with its agenda. It's under a different political leadership with a different political party in charge, but they're continuing the same sort of transparency agenda that we had initiated, I'm glad to say. And I hope that they will innovate us and do things that we had never done before, because it's not about politics. It's about knowing what our government is doing and having a voice in what our government is doing. And again, I think the type of website that we built is a great sort of low-cost, efficient way to deliver on that idea. So that's what's going on with the Senate. They will be looking to hire other Drupal folks, so if anybody out there is looking for a gig in a pretty innovative government institution, especially in the middle of New York, please get in touch. In terms of what I'm doing, I'm having a lot of conversations and haven't figured out for sure what I'm doing, but I'm doing some consulting with other governments to help them sort of as an outsourced CIO, I'd say, or sort of outsourced innovation officer, to figure out how they can similarly, in a time where their budgets are being cut, start by overhauling their technology systems, actually deliver better services. And I think that, you know, open source collaboratively built software platforms, Drupal included, but there are also many others, are one of the potential real silver bullets to that, you know, that can help solve that conundrum of falling budgets and increasing demand on information management and communication systems. So I'm going to be helping several governments to do that. And I guess if I have a macro goal, it's reusability. It's that when one government or one public institution in one place figures out something that really works, that really helps a lot of people or saves a lot of money, that it's easy to find out about that and it's easy to replicate that solution elsewhere. So again, that's why I'm excited about the open public distribution of Drupal, and excited in a more macro sense about the Civic Commons nonprofit organization, which is getting underway, whose mission is really to help governments to do that, to find what's working and to share those technology solutions and knocking down the policy and the educational and the technological barriers to doing that.
I haven't heard of the Civic Commons. Is this a Drupal-specific thing, or is it more generalized for all, you know, using open source technologies within, you know, local governments?
It's about government reuse of software and knowledge and information. So it's not even totally limited to open source. Certainly, Civic Commons will be advocating for open standards and open APIs, which can be instantiated in proprietary platforms potentially. But there'll be a significant center of gravity, obviously, around open source, because that is really how you can maximize the reusability of solutions. So Civic Commons is doing things like taking the City of San Francisco's enterprise addressing system, which helps San Francisco to figure out where its boundaries are for property taxes and where they should be collecting how much tax from who, and can actually generate a lot of revenue that they were leaving on the table. And seeing that be done as a open source reusable project rather than as a one-off project. And Civic Commons is doing that sort of extra 20 to 50% of the work to make sure that another city could now re-implement that software without having to put much additional investment into it. So it's that sort of reusability that we're going for. And that is going to involve, again, partly education, partly getting, you know, governments to think about this when they contract for custom-built software in the first place. And it's partly about training, you know, helping government civil servants that maybe not be used to working with open source software projects, let alone collaborating on building software with other governments, to learn how to do that. It's also about actually having a directory of software which has been proven to work that is open source, and making it easier for governments to actually procure and actually implement those software solutions.
And how do you see the synergy working between open public and what you're doing with the governments? Are you kind of like doing the initial spec and scoping and just sort of like listening and trying to advise, and then phase two, or other people implement it? Or how do you see you yourself working as a mediator?
For now, I'd say I'm an evangelist and a stakeholder, and that I'm doing a project right now implementing open public for a public official in New York State. And because I care so much about reusability, talking anybody's ear off about that, who will listen? But beyond that, I don't have a formal role, and I'm excited that phase two is actually explicitly asking the open public to be not their platform, but a community-governed platform. And we're actually in conversations with them about having Civic Commons ultimately be the curator of the open public platform, because it is explicitly for public benefit. So it'll certainly help companies that are working with government. It'll help them to deliver better solutions to government at lower cost. And that should be good for them. That should be good for governments. That's obviously good in turn for us as citizens and taxpayers. And I think that the jury is still out on exactly how best to do that with Drupal distributions. There isn't really a lot of precedent for publicly nonprofit governed distribution, but in this case, I think it's really important to do so, and I think that phase two, I give them a great deal of credit for sort of having that vision and wanting to be able to pass the baton to a broader, more communal entity than their single corporate entity.
I see. And with OpenPublic having recently come out, I understand it's on Drupal 7, and tell me a bit about like what features or functionality that you're getting and able to implement for your client.
Well, again, I can't take any credit for any of this brilliance because it's really all been phase two's work. What I can say is that what we did in the New York State Senate would have been greatly facilitated had we had OpenPublic to do it on. And in fact, I think it's likely the Senate will eventually migrate from its D6 site to an OpenPublic-based new Senate website. So, but the kind of things that it enables you to do out of the box are to know that you are meeting federal security requirements, Section 508 accessibility requirements. There's some of that sort of under the hood stuff that is a lot easier to accomplish if you start with OpenPublic as your base rather than building a Drupal site from scratch. And then you get, for now, there are a few sort of whiz-bang features which are really nice, like a project mapper, which makes it very easy to create very good-looking maps of where you as a government institution are executing projects and gives you sort of a visual navigation to those projects. And over time, there are going to be a range of features, hopefully mostly developed by people beyond phase two, that will be able to be pluggable into the OpenPublic distribution and make it really feature-rich. And it is the prototype distribution, my understanding is, for the idea of apps that Jeff Walpole presented about yesterday here at DrupalCon, where you'll really be able to create essentially a version of OpenPublic that will meet a very nuanced use case, say, for, I don't know, say, an attorney general of a state. You know, what is OpenPublic? OpenPublic is fairly generic. It meets these basic requirements for government that are very stringent and very tough to do if you did it on your own. But what, say, an attorney general needs may be very specific because he or she is a law enforcement officer and they have a very specific set of needs and workflows and a very specific set of information they want to communicate with the public about. So architecturally, it's designed to make that easy to address all those very nuanced use cases within government, but all starting from the same underlying superstructure so that when I build a feature that meets my use case, it's really easy for somebody else to implement it for their use case, which may be distinct.
And it sounds like there was an administration change in the New York State Senate from Democratic to Republican, and so you had a whole team of people that you were working with. Are you sort of collaborating with them now moving forward?
Yeah, some of those people are staying in the Senate, and they're going to help to, I think, train the next crew of people that are going to come in there. Some of those people are going to leave with me over time and work on some of these projects. And again, I think rather than going to work for any single government institution, we've sort of declined to do that and said instead we want to build the connective tissue between governments to help them learn from one another and to propagate things that are working faster. So we may do that as consultants. In some cases, we may do that actually helping to build nonprofit organizations like Civic Commons in other cases. But regardless of how it happens, we feel like there needs to be a new community of practice in open, collaborative government IT. And that's not the way government technology is typically done. It's still very much a large technology vendors in Washington, D.C., they call them the Beltway Bandits. There are other names for them at the local and state level, really are in the driver's seat in terms of knowledge and innovation. And they really are, not to put it in too pejorative a way, but are sort of feeding the government civil servants with information about what they could or should do. And often I find government civil servants aren't really in the driver's seat in terms of knowing what they really could be doing if they had access to all information and all vendors and were sort of steeped in the sort of open innovation communities that some of us who've been involved in the Drupal movement have been part of. So I really would like to see that flipped around and see government civil servants be more effectively in touch with one another and be driving an innovation agenda and helping to set that agenda for their vendors and having those vendors in turn not be inventing their own independent wheels but be actually collaborating to build software that will work for all of their clients. So again, I think phase two is a great example of a company that's really succeeding and working at the highest levels on some of the biggest projects in government, but doing it in a way where their investments in turn help an ecosystem of other government IT vendors and in fact help government itself to become self-sufficient and, you know, not need to be dependent on phase two forever for work. So that's not specific to Drupal. It goes across a huge range of technology arenas beyond content management. CRM is a big one. Asset management is another big one. There are a whole lot of back office accounting systems, all of which government spends huge amounts of money on, and none of which at this point have really mature open source collaboratively built software projects that are really sustainable and can have that sort of credible enterprise stamp of approval from other large governments to make government buyers feel comfortable investing in them. So I hope we can change that I think the train has left the station in a good way in terms of content management and CMS with Drupal. I really would like to see that in these other application arenas. And again, I hope Civic Commons and organizations like that will help to catalyze that happening in other software domains beyond CMS.
And finally, we're here at DrupalCon Chicago 2011, and you're wearing a Civic Space t-shirt, and you know, it seems like it's come a long way from the days of Civic Space with Drupal and government, and it's almost like it's really hit a tipping point where it's really starting to catch on and spread virally through all levels of government here in the United States and around the world. So what other types of things have you heard from being here at DrupalCon and talking to different people, and where do you see this kind of going?
So it's certainly surreal for those of us who were working on Drupal before there was a DrupalCon. And so it's that nostalgia lane thing is always kind of fun. I guess two things that occurred to me. One, it kind of seems like we've come full circle. Civic Space was a distribution of Drupal, we called it at the time. You know, initially a fork and then unforked, but still a separate packaging of Drupal. And this was before there was even an install profiles system. But we found there's a really heavy lift to maintain that and to deal with tracking Drupal's upgrade path. And we were always 6 months behind with Civic Space. So we found that that was unsustainable and invested in writing the install profile system. And Jeff Walpole from Phase 2 put this nice chart of sort of Homo sapien evolution up on the screen yesterday when he was describing his apps concept, where you know install profiles was the first thing that made it easier for you to kind of build your own packaging of Drupal that made it do what you wanted it to do more quickly than building that custom every single time. And then we've moved into other domains like features and the kit specification, which has been a huge win in terms of being able to do that with pluggable features, and sort of apps has taken that to the next level. And distributions, obviously, in there as well as the thing that apps will plug into. So it kind of seems like we've come full circle, except this time it really makes sense to create different distributions of Drupal because the community and the platform have worked out the methodology to make that something that is really sustainable and really efficient. So that's great. It feels like it's come full circle and now sort of can deliver on the promise of being all things to all people, and to have that be both the flexibility of the platform built in and also the ability to deliver quickly and inexpensively and efficiently a very nuanced product that really meets a very specific use case. That was certainly part of our original vision back in Civic Space for the use case that we were trying to meet, but it was a very heavy lift, and now it's not such a heavy lift. I'm excited about that. On the business side, I think that, so that's on the, a little bit on the technical side and meeting the needs of people who use Drupal. On the business side, I've heard and think that it's a lot of people that are sort of mainstays of the Drupal community are a little bit, you know, cautious right now because they're worried that it's so successful. There's so much business. There's such demand for Drupal talent that a lot of companies and people that have not sort of been steeped in the process that got Drupal to be successful as it is today are going to come in and potentially come in with a lot of money and a lot of business, or, you know, very low price points for their work, and be a large center of gravity just by virtue of their volume. So everybody from very large consulting firms like an Accenture, say, to, you know, very large, you know, very low-cost development shops, perhaps in developing countries, all of which I think is good because it brings their total resource scale being applied to Drupal becomes that much bigger. But I think it is going to mean that there's going to be a lot of responsibility put on the sort of leaders of the community to continue to maintain the focus and the sort of altruistic culture and approach and process that leads to a truly collaboratively built software product that's collaborated on by people around the globe, to have that continue to work and to have it continue to scale as a community in a way that works well. And Angie Byron just gave a talk here about that, you know, what happens when Drupal's now a million people. Drupal.org was 25,000 5 years ago. It's scaling exponentially. What happens when it's 25 times bigger than that? How can it continue to work as well as it has been working as a collaboratively built piece of software and the community dynamic that supports that? And I'm glad to say that I've never seen such a passionate, altruistic, committed group of leaders in any other community that I've ever been part of than I have in the Drupal community. So I'm optimistic, but I do think, you know, those changes are going to come in the culture, and we're going to need to adapt the process by which the community integrates that new scale to make it continue to succeed.
So yeah, one last question is that, you know, Phase 2 is just sort of floating weather balloon. They have a lot of ideas and not too specific yet. They're still kind of exploring this idea of an app store, of being able to have like pluggable features where you're getting like a user experience and functionality, but it's mostly the convenience of being able to kind of get this functionality and put it into the websites and in Open Public in particular. So what sort of thoughts do you have about that, and then, you know, anything else?
So I think it's really important to be able to have the ease of delivering Drupal as a product, which I believe that model will enable. And I believe that because we were able to accomplish a lot with nysenate.gov, but we were not able to accomplish our ultimate goal, which was seeing all of our peers and other legislatures, you know, of which there are about 100 beyond ourselves at the state level in the United States, and thousands at the local city council level. We were not able to see those peers follow in our footsteps very easily. They're not going to be able to find the talent. They're not going to have the same budget. And so the way that they could potentially follow in our footsteps when we put money into building what works for an elected legislature in Drupal would be with this model of distribution and apps that can plug into that distribution to make it meet a specific use case as a product. So I think that with Jeff Walpole's model, there's an excellent chance that people will create legislative body product out of Drupal, potentially deliver that as a hosted software as a service or something that you can host on-premise. And in that way, you may actually see that when one legislature makes that investment, all their peers would be able to follow at much lower cost. And that really makes the scale of the addressable market for Drupal products that much bigger. But most importantly to me, it really means that more governments are going to do a better job in terms of empowering their citizens through access to information and the ability to participate in their government. So I've definitely drunk Jeff's Kool-Aid, mostly because that would have helped us to, and may still help us to, in New York State, to deliver on that ultimate promise of making an investment that then yields benefits not just for the people that we directly were working for, but for citizens of governments everywhere. I think more generally, one piece beyond having the ability to have apps that can plug into Drupal distributions and what Jeff is not calling an app store, but some people are calling an app store. Beyond that, I would like to see more of what we think of as software as a service, just literally, click to buy and you're up and running, productized versions of Drupal. And I'd like to see a variety of those, cloud hosted product solutions that are themselves completely open source under the hood, so that you can still, fire your SaaS vendor and go to another one or take it on-premise. And that's really important for government to have that efficiency and that ease and that economy of getting up and running with a software as a service solution, but to reserve the right to take it to a different vendor or to take it in-house, because there are a lot of use cases where governments need to keep data on private networks, but they want to do prototype development in the public cloud, or they want to bifurcate a solution into an internal private version and a public version. So the migratability of a Drupal product is really important. And so I hope there'll be cloud vendors that come to their SaaS vendors of Drupal products that come to the table with that built into their business model, that they're happy if their customers then in turn take that product and host it internally or take it to another SaaS vendor. And that's not something you see with a lot of other SaaS products. So I think it'd be really exciting for Drupal to break ground there.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.